Welcome and congratulations, because if you've made it this far, I am so pleased, because it means that you have been obedient and you have watched all the 10 videos in book one. And now you are beginning book two. And yes, there will be a book three. In book one, we looked at the fundamentals of salvation. So book one is mostly the fundamentals, meaning the milk of salvation, but there are some choicy pieces of meat of the Word of God. Here in book two, we continue in the meat of the Word of God, and we go through book two, and we'll move into book three eventually, which will be focused on the strong meat of salvation. So we're going to look at the overall, the milk of salvation, the meat of salvation, and the strong meat of salvation. So we start off book two looking at the meat of salvation. Before we do that, let's do a quick review on what we covered in book one. Looking at the fundamentals, we saw that man needed a savior because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God created mankind, starting with Adam and Eve, and he put his glory into Adam and Eve. They were so full of the glory of God that they did not need clothes to be kept warm. In fact, they did not even know they were naked because the glory of God covered them. But when man sinned, when Adam sinned, and when each of us sinned, we fell short of the glory of God. So God sent Jesus to get us to be born again into the family of God. And the way he did that was 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, part A says, Jesus bore your sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. So he took our sins in his body. So because he took our sins in his body, we have not got them. That's why we're under grace, the age of grace. But he took our sins in his body that we would be dead to sin so we could live unto righteousness. The age of grace, in my opinion, is best described as that period of time when, because of the sacrifice of Jesus and because of his shed blood washing away our sins, though our sins were scarlet, they've been washed white as snow. It's that age where God wants us to live unto righteousness, to obey his word, to live the way he wants us to live, the way that we want to live because we love him and we love his word, to live the way God wanted Adam to live without disobedience. But if in attempting to live righteously, without disobedience, we occasionally fall, then it's like walking on a tightrope. Tightrope being we are determined to live the way God wants us. But when we sin, when we make a mistake, when we fall, the age of grace is a safety net which catches us and bounces us up back to where we can get up. Says the righteous man fall seven times, but the Lord raises him up. We bounce back up under the age of grace so we can start again. So the age of grace is a time for us to practice the fact that we're dead to sin and we're living unto righteousness. Now Romans 6:23 says that we have eternal life. And why do we have eternal life? It says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. On the day that Adam sinned, his spirit man died. And his body caught up to it 930 years later. When his spirit man died, he was no longer connected to life. God is life. And the life that was stored in him, like the, you know, ever-ready bunny, he kept bouncing around like the bunny until one day his battery of life ran out and he died at 930. Now, when we are born again, life comes to live in us. For John 14:6 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the life. And when we are born again, we have that life living inside us. So Jesus took our sins, which means he took the wages of sin. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So that's a good review, I think, of the fundamentals. Now, because we're born again into the family of God, the promises of God belong to us. And I chose just a few here as an example. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 again. And this time, we look at part B, which is an effect of part A. So Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And by his stripes, we are healed. By the wounds on his back, by those 39 stripes on his back, which, by the way, modern science says there are 39 categories into which they fit, every sickness, disease, infirmity, every attack of a pathogen, all fits, accident, calamity, all fit into 39 categories. And Jesus took 39 stripes, 39 whippings, each making stripes, and by those stripes, we were healed. So Jesus not only took our sins, he took the wages of sins, which include sickness, disease, infirmity, all the negative, evil things that came into the world because Satan deceived Adam and he sinned. So one of the major benefits of us being born again, being in the family of God, is that by those 39 stripes, 39 wounds on Jesus, we have been healed. Now, 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says that God has given to us, according to his divine power, everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything you and I need for life and godliness. Everything you and I need to live today, tomorrow, to live because we have life. And to do it in a godly way has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. It's part of our salvation package. God has already given us, according to his divine power, everything that you and I need for life and godliness. John 14:13. And all these blessings come to us by asking in the name of Jesus. Everything in our salvation package belongs to us, but we need to partner with God to bring them into manifestation in our lives. So John 14:13 says, and whatsoever you should ask in my name, that would I do. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I see that it gets done. Acts 2:21. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? This is normally taught as a salvation scripture. Saved from eternal death, saved from hell, saved from dying, saved from your sins. It's a wonderful salvation scripture. But it works for anything. From anything from which you need to be saved, you call on the name of the Lord. Which name? The name showing God's character and his willingness to help save you from the challenge. So if your finances are a huge challenge and you need to be saved from poverty or being evicted, then you call on God as Jehovah Jireh, the God who is your provider. You call in the name that matches the need that you have in your life. God has provided everything you need for life and godliness. So section B, or redemption in Jesus. Everything in book one comes through living in Jesus. It's a redemption in Jesus. Everything in book three and almost everything in book two comes through living in Christ. It's your redemption in Christ. Very, very big difference. The primary purpose of tonight's module is to show you the difference. So living in Jesus Christ, first we need to understand the names. His name is Jesus. That's his name. Just as my name is Joshua, his name is Jesus. And he says in John 16, 23, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I'll give it to you. So we are told to ask the Father for whatever we need and to ask it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, I ask you for a new job. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, I ask you for this business contract. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, I ask you for dinner today. Whatever you need, you ask God for it. You find a promise pertaining to what you need, and you ask the Heavenly Father for it in the name of Jesus. So his name is Jesus. His title is Christ. Christ is a title like some people are medical doctors. Their title is a doctor. Some are professors. Some are auto mechanics. Their title is mechanic. His title is Christ. Christ is the Messiah. And Christ means the anointed one who's the Messiah and his anointing. Now, as the man Christ, Jesus lived and died for us. As the man, Jesus came, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was born of a woman, as a man, legal entry into this earth as a man, didn't come in by stealing his way in as Satan did. He came into this earth legally as a man, lived as a man to fulfill the messianic prophecies as the Lamb of God. So he was first as a man to fulfill the Christ-like requirements of the messianic prophecy as the Lamb of God. All the sacrifices in the Old Covenant pointed to this man Christ operation. Jesus the man, Jesus the perfect man, living as a man, dying as a man, being sacrificed as a perfect man to fulfill the messianic prophecies of the Lamb of God dying to save us. That's what is meant by the man Christ. The man came first, and the man lived as a man to fulfill the messianic prophecies as the Lamb of God. So Jesus as the man Christ lived as a perfect man for us, and we are born again by accepting Jesus as Savior. When we confess him as Lord and ask him into our heart, as Savior, he comes and lives in us. Our spirits are born again, recreated into the family of God. We live in Jesus. We live in Jesus Christ. Terms are synonymous. We live in Jesus. We live in Jesus Christ. We live in Jesus Christ when we're living with Jesus as our Savior. And that's what book one is about. Jesus is the Savior, and we're living with Jesus as our Savior. And it's awesome and wonderful. All the promises that we covered and barely covered in the first 10 modules are the promises of God and how God loves us and all the things he has done for us and wants us to partner with him so we can partake of that. All that comes to us because we're living with Jesus as our Savior. We are born again. He is our Savior. We recognize he's our Savior, and we're living with him as our Savior. But there's more to look at. In Jesus Christ, we inherit our salvation package and are able to access some of our divine inheritance. Notice the word some. Everything in the salvation package belongs to you when you're born again into the family of God. It belongs to you. But we're children feeding on milk. And much of the salvation package is only accessible, available to those who partner with God, who continue the word to become disciples. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. We are all believers in Jesus. Any believer who dies during the age of grace will go to heaven. To be absent from the body for a believer is to be with the Lord. But not all disciples get set free here on earth. John 8, 31, 32. Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So there are two kinds of Christians, two kinds of believers. Regular believers who are called the elect, the elected to the family of God, the elected to the calling on their life. Regular believers and disciples who become disciples by disciplining themselves to continue the word, to serve God with Jesus as Lord as they learn the word. If you continue in my word, if you continue to read it, study it, that your mind be renewed by it, act on it, to put it in your heart, and speak it so it sets your soul free. If you continue in the word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They are regular believers, and they are disciples. Regular believers are living in Jesus Christ. Disciples are moving into living in Christ Jesus. Regular believers are called the elect. Believers who are disciples who are living in Christ Jesus, are moving into being the very elect. They know the word of God. They've quit feeding on milk, and they're feeding mostly on meat, and they're heading towards strong meat. So, in Jesus Christ, we inherit our salvation package and are able to access some of our divine inheritance. I don't know about you. I'm sure you're like me. That would be my guess. I want to feed on as much as I can, moving into strong meat, so I have access to everything in my inheritance package, everything in my salvation package. Why would I want to be satisfied with baby food when I can have steaks and all the strong meat? Why would I not want to have all the wonderful things that are gifts to me, paid for by Jesus Christ? He purchased all these wonderful gifts in our salvation package. Why would I not want to open every gift? And we open those gifts by continuing the word, by continuing to live in Christ Jesus, by continuing to live with Jesus as Lord. Not just as Savior, but with Jesus as Lord. He's Lord. You read the word, and the word says, don't do that. You stop it. You read the word, and the word says, you should be doing this. You start doing that. That's how we move into lordship. The born again process is only once. You're born again once. You become born into the family of God with Jesus as your Savior. It's a one-time event, being born again. But the lordship, being baptized into the word, into the lordship of Jesus, is an ongoing event from now until Jesus returns. So, living in Jesus, we are to preach, teach, heal, and work miracles in the name of Jesus. So, we have these wonderful gifts, these wonderful provisions in our salvation package when we're living in Jesus. But Jesus says, freely have you received, freely give. So let's look at redemption in Christ, living in Christ Jesus. As a Christ man, living in Jesus, we are looking at the man Christ, the man Jesus up to his crucifixion and death, fulfilling the messianic prophecies concerning the Lamb of God dying for us. Now, from the resurrection forward, we're looking at the Christ man, the anointed one, the King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Messiah, coming in power as King of Kings, ruler of everything. From the resurrection forward, we're looking at the Christ man. Jesus rose from the dead into the resurrection power of a new life with a glorified body. Jesus on earth as a man Christ, we had glimpses of the glory in his body. Those who healed, the lady with the issue who touched his garment, and the power went out and healed her on the Mount of Transfiguration when the glory shone out of him. So we had some moments of the glory. But his body was not a fully glorified body because his body had to die. And for his body to die, he had to be able to take sin. Not commit sin. He could have committed sin. He chose not to commit sin. But he chose to take our sins. So he took our sins into his body. And so that body, that little of a glorified body, had to be such that it could die when sin came up in it. In fact, it had to be at the level where it could take sin, which means it had to be capable of sinning, even though he himself never sinned. He simply took our sins. So he arose from the dead. He went up into heaven. He was given a glorified body. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, and being seated until his enemies are made his footstool. Now, before he left, he says in Matthew 28:18, all power in heaven and earth have been given to me. Now, he sent us as a stand-in to go preach the gospel. He got all the power in heaven and earth. He defeated Satan, and he got back from Satan the power that God had given to Adam. God said to Adam, Genesis 1:26-28, you have power and authority over the earth, authority and dominion over the earth, and over everything that moves on the earth. But notice, he didn't say the heavenlies. He said the earth. Jesus came, defeated Satan, and now he's saying, I have power over the heavenlies and over the earth. Now you go in my name and teach people what I've told you, the Great Commission. So in sending us, he gave us the legal right to use his name. We're going in his name. We have the power of attorney to use his name. And in his name is the authority and power over everything. Philippians 2:10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things above the earth, of things on the earth, and of things below the earth. The name of Jesus has authority in three worlds. Jesus says, I have the keys of hell and death. So he has power in the heavenlies, power on earth, and the keys of hell and death. He has total authority in three worlds. And it's all vested in the name Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And we have the legal right, the power of attorney to use that name. So, that power and authority came after his resurrection. And we have access to it as we live in Christ. or in Christ Jesus, same meaning. We live in Christ, we have access to all that power and authority. We have access to everything in our salvation package when we live in Christ. And how do we live in Christ? We live in Christ when we live with Jesus as Lord. We live in Jesus when we live with Jesus as Savior. But we live in Christ when we live with Jesus as Lord. As Lord, whatever He says, we do it. As Lord, whatever the Bible says for us to do, we do. As Lord, whatever He says we shouldn't do, we don't do it. We are actually washed by the water of the Word, because as we see the Word, we either do it or we don't do it. That's living under the Lordship of Christ Jesus. Living under the Lordship of Christ Jesus. And for those of you who don't have the outline, and this is the time to tell you, hopefully by now you've gotten the habit of printing all the outlines. If you haven't, maybe you should go back and print them. But from here on out, I strongly, strongly recommend you print all the outlines, because we are just starting to get rolling. This is the first module in Book 2, and we're just getting rolling. So let's look at some benefits. While Jesus is in heaven, the body of Christ has been made ambassadors of heaven on earth. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors of Christ on earth. We are standing. We are to do on earth what He would have done had He remained on earth. Now we operate in this role as we choose to be in Christ Jesus. As we choose to continue in Christ, as we choose to continue in the fact that we recognize Jesus as Lord, we are living under His Lordship, and we are letting the Word change us by being washed by the water of the Word, that when the Word says do it, we do it, and the Word says don't do it, we stop doing it. We're living in Christ Jesus. And as we do that, this gives us the full access to all the awesome promises in the New Testament. And let me tell you, the promises are such that it's way beyond anything our natural minds could think. Whatever we could dare, ask, hope, or think, imagine. Dare, ask, hope, think, imagine. The promises are infinitely greater than that. Let's close today with some examples. Philippians 4:7. Let's start in Philippians 4:6. Be concerned, be anxious about nothing. Be careful about nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And if you do that, Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because when you ask God for something, and it says in everything, small or big. A lot of people have said to me, I don't want to bother God with small things. Listen, man, your biggest problem is small to God. So this concept of you have small and you have big, it doesn't make sense, because to God they're all small. So whatever you have that you think is small or humongous or big, His hands are not short that He can't answer your prayers. So in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And when you do that, the peace of God will keep your mind and your heart through Christ Jesus. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that washes away the committee that talks to you. The fears that come to you. All the things that come to your mind and try to overwhelm your mind. Bad thoughts, sinful thoughts, fearful thoughts. The challenges you have to deal with tomorrow. The peace of God will keep you, and eventually they all go away. And eventually you can sleep sweet, deep sleep without nightmares. and you live a life where there's no voice talking in your head. You're not going through the woulda, coulda, shoulda type conversations. You have a mind of peace, for the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ. Awesome promises of God. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs, not according to what we think is big and small or difficult. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. It belongs to you when you're saved. When you're in Jesus, it belongs to you. But you start to gain all the wonderful things that God has for you in Christ Jesus. You know what? You know what God thinks about poverty? He says a poor man is better than a liar. A poor man is better than a liar. God is not very big in poverty. He doesn't like poverty. God wants us to be blessed in every area of our life. He is the God of increase. Here's another one, Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So as we are living, trying to live good, wonderful lives because we love the Lord, we make mistakes. We commit sins. We do things that we don't want to do. And the devil comes in. The devil tricks us. First, the devil tempts us until we sin. And then he comes with his own version of a two-edged sword to say, well, how could you do that? How could you think you're a Christian and you're doing that? How could you think you're a decent person and you're doing that? His own two-edged sword. With one side, he tricks you into doing it, and the other side, he blasts you for it. But you know the words of God says, Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation. You're in Christ Jesus, all your sins have been washed away. There is no condemnation. Jesus took all your sins. Though your sins were scarlet, they're washed white as snow. No condemnation. What a wonderful promise. And like probably every promise of God, there's so much depth and meaning that we could study them for a long, long time, just learning more and more what it means. And this one in particular is so full of very big, deep meaning. So we will look at that again in the future. And finally, Ephesians 2:6. And God has raised us up. When we're born again, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God doesn't see us just being here on earth as mere mortals. God sees us as his family, as his children, as kings and priests, as rulers over the kingdoms of darkness, in the kingdoms of nature, in the kingdoms of animal. In fact, rulers over the earth and everything on it, and rulers over the heavenlies and everything in it. And oh yeah, we have the rule over also the world of darkness, over demons, devils, and evil spirit. Because he's raised us up to sit with Jesus. And where's Jesus? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and we are raised up to sit together with him in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are raised up. Not in Jesus, but in Christ Jesus. As we live in the Lordship of Jesus, we are raised up, and more authority and dominion and power and understanding and revelation knowledge flow through us. Amen? And this is just the beginning of book 2. Looking forward to seeing you in the next module. God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor Joshua. I'm sure if you're like me that you never thought about salvation as being a progressive teaching. We've seen salvation as you accept Jesus, you're born again, hallelujah. But there's so much more. As we've learned and we've grown into it ourselves here at ABC, we just didn't focus on it being like book one, book two, book three of salvation, of being the milk and the meat and the strong meat. But it is. And we are so blessed, and we're getting the word out to other people around the world so that they too can know and be blessed. That's what's so exciting about it. It's our ministry of reaching out to the world through the internet, and then all of us praying in the people that come to these sites and receive the information from the Word of God that the Holy Spirit has helped us to put out there for them. So, praise the Lord. Why don't we go from here into communion then, thanking our God for our salvation? It is such a wonderful blessing. I'll tell you what, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. My husband and I say it every single day. Thank God for Jesus. Oh, my goodness, especially as this world gets wilder and crazier and more evil. Jesus, 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 the light of the world shines brighter, and we are so blessed to be part of the family of God through Jesus Christ and through Christ Jesus. Praise God. So let's confess sins and come to the table with open hearts. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Holy Spirit, fall afresh upon us as we come to the table, receiving of our Savior of the body and the blood, the salvation package in total in the body and the blood, the benefits that keep on coming, that keep on keeping on to us, from the one-time sacrifice. We thank you, Father, that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We remember from 1 Peter 2:24 that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That was Peter looking back to the cross, knowing that Jesus had already paid the price and it now belonged to us. It is our inheritance. It belongs to us. Healing belongs to us. Health, strength, long life, all belong to us because of the stripes that Jesus took upon his back. 39 of them, as Pastor Joshua mentioned in the teaching, modern medicine with its 39 categories, Jesus with his 39 stripes paying the price in full and complete for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain. Nothing lacking, nothing missing. It's all been paid for, and none of Satan's junk belongs to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we receive joyously, Lord, in remembrance of this wonderful gift that you have given unto us. Thank you for our healing as we remember what Jesus has done for us as we partake together. In the same manner, after the sup, Jesus took the cup and said, This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Oh, my goodness, Lord. You washed away all of our sins with your blood. You sealed the old covenant. You established the new, better, and everlasting covenant. And all these promises, all these weapons, all these tools, spiritual tools that come out of the kingdom of God for us to become overcomers, for us to be disciples, for us to be the very elect, for us to be all that you created us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your precious, wonderful, promise-giving, life-giving blood. We partake together and receive of you, filling ourselves, flooding ourselves with the blood of Jesus and the life of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's partake together.